Well, welcome again. We want to thank everyone for being here today. We always say, remember, this is your Department for the Blind. This is your independent living program. We always are interested in your comments and your participation. So we're so glad that you joined us today. And at this moment, we would like to open it up for public comment. Is there anyone that has any public comment? Okay. Hearing none, then at this time, we'll go ahead and let me also just say that just because we don't hear public comment at this meeting doesn't mean that you can't email our director, Emily Wharton, or call her. Most certainly, she's always open to talking with anyone. Her doors are open, and the same with mine. We do want to hear from you because remember, this is your agency, this is your program. So please feel free to contact us at any time with your comments, questions, or concerns. We also like to hear those positive comments if you have anything for us. So don't be afraid to do that. So having said that, we're going to move on and hear from our own director, Miss Emily. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hello. Sorry, I'm going to try and get my speech to not. Maybe not. Okay. Y'all hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. Hopefully my computer won't start randomly start talking. Having one of those weird audio setup days. So thank you everybody for coming to our quarterly independent living forum. It's always great to get to hear some of your voices that I haven't heard for a little while and get together and talk about independent living in particular. Mostly, I'm going to let Kim, I'm not going to try and steal any of Kim's thunder in that area, but I will give you some kind of overall updates for the department and things that are going on generally that do impact IL as well. So the first thing that is happening right now is the, as folks know, the legislature is in session. We requested and are from the governor an appropriation increase that had a basically four parts to it. It had $71,000 to keep up with the cost of living issues that we have, with inflation and whatnot, to be able to continue to pull down the federal share of that. And the next portion was 305,000 to cover the cost of our our instructional material center that is part of our library. It provides accessible educational materials to K-12 students across the state. And we were paying that for many, many years with the contract from the Department of Education, and the Department of Education ended that contract this summer. So we have, the last year of that contract, but next year we won't have a funding for those positions. So then the third and fourth parts of the ask were to cover the cost of the materials for students who are needing Braille, electronic, and large print. And because the way that the Department of Education is structured now is they've brought that cost to the districts, and the districts weren't really prepared for it. And so what has been happening is we've had a number of students who used to get Braille from us. They are no longer getting the Braille that they used to get, or the large print for that matter. So there's a number of students that they've just decided to become audio learners. Some of them had the paras doing translations. There's a lot of kind of a hodgepodge, there's a lot of confusion out there and a lot of kind of lack of clarity about the resources that are available. So we've seen orders drop quite a bit over the course of the school year, and it really makes us very concerned that kids aren't getting the materials they need to be able to participate and be, you know, keeping up with their classmates. And so, unfortunately, the governor did not include any of those requests into her budget. Her recommendation for the Iowa Department for the Blind budget was to reduce our budget by $3,500 because of the change the Office of the Chief Information Officer is billing. So we are actually getting a decrease for state fiscal year 24 in the governor's budget. And so that was disappointing. We spoke with the Education Appropriations Subcommittee, and that's a joint subcommittee of the House and the Senate. They do the education appropriations, and that's where our budget comes out of. So Sarah Williford from the library and I went over to speak with them on Monday. And I want to give a shout out to Carol for being at that meeting on Monday. And several other concerned folks were as well to show their support for services to blind Iowans, and really, really appreciate that. So we talked about some of the challenges that we're facing with the library and the Materials Center. We talked about also all the good things that the department does, and, you know, the cost, the great value that independent living services are, as well as vocational rehabilitation services. And so the representatives that were there asked a lot of good questions. It is a joint committee, but only representatives were in attendance. So apparently the Senate's not coming to those meetings, we found out. So we're not exactly sure why, but that's the way things are this year. And so that's where the situation is there. There was, you know, it's definitely, you know, if the governor's budget is, you know, accepted and passed through both the chambers and signed the way it is, it will be a challenge for us. We're tough, resilient people. We will figure out how to make this work. And we've got options. They're not exactly the ones I would prefer, but we're going to make it work, because it's too important to get accessible materials to blind students. So that is a bit of a challenge before us at this time. Another challenge that we're facing as an agency is that there is, I know probably a lot of folks saw in the governor's condition of the state address that she talked about the realignment of state agencies. There is a major, major overhaul of all the alignments of all the state agencies. And so, for example, the Department on Aging is getting moved under the Department of Health and Human Services. And the general agency that is currently under the Department of Education, they're getting moved over to Iowa Workforce Development. And the Braille School and the School for the Deaf, which are currently under the Board of Regents, are getting moved under the Department of Education. So there's a lot of agencies being moved in this bill. And the Department for the Blind is not being moved. We are in this bill listed as continuing to be a freestanding agency. We would not be cabinet level like we are now. So it's a little bit of more of a kind of a terminology point, not a huge real impact on us day to day. So we would remain freestanding. However, there is a provision in this bill. The bill itself is 1,500 pages long. It's like 1,569 pages in total. It was crashing my computer when I was trying to download it, and that happened to a lot of people. That was happening to folks in the legislature. They couldn't get it downloaded. It contains a lot of different provisions for all the different changes that are going to be happening within state government. But Division 13 involves the Department for the Blind. Right now, as it stands in current Iowa law, The director of the Iowa Department for the Blind is appointed by the commission board, hired and fired by our Iowa Commission for the Blind. And the reasoning and rationale behind that was so that the director position wasn't political. So we were trying, you know, it was thought back in the day when this was created, probably about 1925, actually, that, you know, to make this not a political position. Make it just the director of the department was responsible to the commission board, who were responsible ultimately to the governor, but it really happened to be, you know, responsible to blind Iowans and those that we serve here in this agency. So that allows us for a little more continuance of operations over different administrations and whatnot. And so Division 13 of this bill is looking to remove that and make the Department for the Blind director appointed, hired, and fired directly by the governor, serving at the pleasure of the governor. And so that would be a very large change for the commission. It would really take away a lot of the commission's power and authority. And it would definitely give the governor the ability to appoint someone who is maybe there is no provision protecting this position from being made based on political affiliation. There's several, if you look at the bill overall, there's a number of agencies out there that have it in the bill that the director is required to have experience and it is not allowed to be a political appointment. And that language was not included in Division 13. So, that does raise the potential for a political appointment rather than an appointment that is someone who is dedicated to serving blind Iowans. So that is an ongoing issue. And I know that the consumer organizations across the state, the Iowa Council, the United Blind, and the NFB of Iowa are working on sharing information about that. On this issue. So I'd encourage folks who are interested in this to join those listservs, become and speak with members of those organizations to help to see what they're doing and reach out to them. So on February 20th, we will be having our day at the Capitol. This is something we used to do a lot in the past and haven't done for quite some time. But our new chief information officer, Connie Mendenhall, you might all remember from, she used to be an IL teacher, and she's now our chief information officer. And she's been putting together an event. So we're going to go over and talk to folks over at the Capitol. We're going to bring some baked goods to share. We're going to demonstrate rotomatics and different things that blind people use to be independent and have conversations with folks stopping by, legislators, legislative aides, and folks in the Capitol to give folks information about IDB and everything that we do. And so really excited to do that. And so if folks are interested in attending that or would like to have some more information about how they could possibly, you know, meet with their legislator, senator, or representative that day, I really encourage folks to reach out to Connie, and she will help assist with, we're kind of trying to keep a little bit of a tally of who might all be coming and making sure that people get updated information and whatnot, trying to kind of manage the logistics there. So Connie Mendenhall would be really great to talk to her too if you're thinking that you could possibly come to the Capitol on February 20th and participate in that event and really, trying to show folks the impact that our services have and really want to give the opportunity for the legislators to understand what it is that we do, because there's so many different things that we do that it's really kind of not that easy to communicate sometimes. So we're going to keep on communicating it and getting the information out there and seeking support for all that we do. So that is primarily what I have to share with y'all. Did anybody have any questions?
Emily, since I have another conflict on Monday, I'm actually going to be in Sioux Falls. Would it be helpful for letters to our senators and representatives? And if so, what primarily would be the best information to put in such a letter?
So, you know, kind of depending on what issue you're getting at. I always encourage folks to communicate with their legislators. I think that's a really important part of our democratic process. And I want to give everybody the information that they need to be able to do that effectively and help link people with that information. I can't tell anybody to do that. In the position that I'm in. And so, you know, I am encouraging folks to reach out to the consumer groups. And I know they've been putting some information out there that's really helpful to folks about who to contact and what to say about it if folks are concerned about Division 13 in particular. So I really would kind of point folks in that direction on that. I know that both Iowa Council of the United Blind and the NFB of Iowa are both working together or working, you know, on this very seriously and have that information to share with everyone.
Emily, this is Kim. And if I could also share, Carol Flickinger is on this call. And I believe, Carol, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're on the Iowa Council of the United Blind Board and a member, is that correct?
I'm no longer on the board this year.
You're a member. Could you maybe, if John is interested, would you be able to connect with him and help guide him in maybe answering some of those questions?
Sure, no problem.
So John, if you're interested, maybe you and Carol can connect after this meeting.
Okay. In addition to that, you can talk to Tom, who is the president of the Siouxland chapter of the NFB. He has that information. And then I know for certain there are three members of that chapter from the Siouxland chapter of NFB coming on the 20th to Des Moines.
Right. I was aware of that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like... Carol, do you have John's phone number?
I think I do in my file somewhere.
Okay, so you two can connect and then...
Okay,
yeah.
Monica and John, you know each other, so you two can connect. Are there any other questions for Emily?
I have one, I'm not sure. Emily, I think I heard they had another meeting today at the Capitol building about Iowa Department for the Blind. I could be wrong, but I just wondered if you heard anything from that.
Okay, so what occurred today, there was a subcommittee meeting from the State Government Committee in the Senate. So the bill, the realignment of the Senate is SSB 1123. And that has a subcommittee assigned, and they had their first subcommittee meeting today at 11 o'clock. There has not been, from what I'm seeing yet, a House, the House version is HSB 126, and that does have a subcommittee assigned, but there has not been a subcommittee meeting that we've seen yet. So that was... Yeah, so the Division 13 was not on the agenda this morning, but they're talking about the entire bill itself, that 1,500-page bill.
Oh boy. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for Emily? Okay. All right. Hearing nothing, Emily, I want to thank you for your time. We appreciate the information that you shared. It's very valuable information, and we appreciate you coming. You're welcome to stay. If you have other things that you need to do, we understand you may have to pop out. And so, again, we just want to thank you for sharing the information today, and hopefully people will hear it on the podcast for those who couldn't come.
Well, thank you all.
Okay, so we'll go on now to my report. I want to share out some information that was received through the Olmsted Consumer Task Force. We do get several state agencies. I do share my report, some of which you folks will get here. But there are other state agencies that share information as well. Do want to share that Iowa Finance Authority, which is called IFA, and their board did approve some additional funding and allocated $500 million in funding for 36 affordable rental units targeted to seniors in the Iowa City area. That will help the homelessness assistance program across Iowa and other affordable home ownership projects. IFA is collaborating with partner organizations to assist in meeting housing needs for individuals moving also from the Glenwood area, because as most of you might have heard, they are transitioning those clients from Glenwood out into the community, and they have those housing needs that need to be met. And I know that we have received a few referrals from folks transitioning from Glenwood as well, I think. I'm not sure which teachers might have received those referrals, but I know we are getting them as we speak. Department of Health and Human Services, Director Kelly Garcia attended as well. And she spoke to a variety of questions that the group had to offer up. She responded to the following topics at our Olmsted meeting, and those included that refugees may be able to address the shortage in nursing assistant and child care workforce issues. She also addressed the Iowa Medicaid Enterprise is consistently reviewing their state programs and suggested that Medicaid town halls were being proposed for across Iowa to take suggestions from Iowans for improvement. And I do see that they're posting that on their website as to where their town halls are taking place. So for any of you that are interested in attending those town halls, I'm not sure if they're offering virtual or in person, but you can go to their website to see where they're happening across Iowa. She also noted that one Olmsted member noted that the executive committee requested an update on the availability of the data for the Olmsted plan. They call the Department of Health and Human Services DHHS now. They are creating a spreadsheet to review the different groups, task forces, commissions, committees, the purpose and what they are required to do, and the membership and who is served. The Olmsted chair, our Olmsted chair is called, her name is Paula, suggested that Olmsted Task Force identify the most preferred data points and ask DHHS, which is Kelly Garcia, to publicly display it. Ms. Garcia suggested reviewing the existing dashboard and determine additional data points that may be possible. Another Olmsted member suggested that the task force compare the data dashboard, focus data request, and how often to request her presence, meaning Ms. Garcia, at the Olmsted Consumer Task Force meeting. Any one of you here today at our meeting interested in hearing the recording of Ms. Garcia's portion of her discussion, you can find it available at https://bit.ly/3ia YLD2, and I don't think there's a period after it, but it looks like there's a period after it. And that should be, I would assume that would take you to the DHS. I still call it DHS, but it's DHHS. You get used to that new acronym. Okay, on to the next subject. In December, I attended the statewide independent living annual meeting. It's the SILC annual meeting. And the centers were also, Centers for Independent Living were in attendance as well. And they were there to discuss the day at the Capitol as part of the Independent Living Network, which we are part of that network. We were invited, as well as our partner, Vocational Rehabilitation, to participate, to join them on what they call Capitol, on the Capitol Hill. And theirs was held on January 25th of this year. And what they did was they were there to talk with their legislators about what independent living was and how program services impacts the lives of those served. In consultation with our director, Director Emily, and the SOAP director, as well as our chief information officer, a new one, Connie Mendenhall, we were already going to be represented on February 20th, as Emily just reported today. So instead of joining them for their day at the Hill on January 25th, we talked with Amy and suggested, you know, would it be okay if we just supplied you with some brochures that you could set out on a table? And that was perfectly fine with them because they actually had a lot of their groups were there and they had a busy day. So that was very acceptable. Now in planning ahead for the next Independent Living Day on the Capitol for 2024, Amy, again, the new SILC director, has already requested the entire first floor rotunda for January 23rd, 2024, from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the Iowa Vocational Rehabilitation's SRC group. And that's a committee of individuals who I assume the majority are persons with disabilities who probably at one time or another receive services from Vocational Rehabilitation, or they could be parents of individuals who receive services from Iowa Vocational Rehabilitation Services. But they will also be holding up over there to talk with legislators from 2:30 to 4 p.m. It should also be noted that that particular day, January 23rd, 2024, is the Ed Roberts Day, who is technically the father or founder of independent living. So Amy is envisioning that this would be a great time to ask for a proclamation recognizing Ed Roberts Day in Iowa and focusing on how important independent living is and getting that proclamation signed. She wants to bring people to the Capitol to talk to legislators at that time. And I know that Connie, I believe Emily has already talked to Connie. And I believe there's already been some back and forth emails between Connie and Amy to try to get that ball rolling for next year. We'll keep you posted. It's still a year out, but before we know it, it will be here. In December, this past December, I was busy working on federal reports, finalizing it. So even though it's a pretty quiet time, it is pretty busy in trying to wrap up those reports. Emily and Wes and a lot of other people are teachers are very busy in providing me with information and stories, success stories. These reports are very important and they have to be filed by the 30th of 31st, whichever last business day it is of the month. So with the Older Blind Program, what I had learned after completing the report that for each individual we served for this the fiscal year of 22, it cost only $1,669.21. As compared to last year, it cost $1,542.41. Now, it's true, we only served two fewer clients this year as compared to last. However, we did have some increased costs. I mean, to operate, fuel costs had gone up, labor costs had gone up. But when you look at the cost of what it would cost for a person to be put into an institution such as assisted living or a nursing home, the prevention of that, the $1,669.21 for rehabilitation costs are much less than asking a taxpayer to chip in to pay a Medicaid cost of a nursing home. So I just wanted to share out what the cost measures were per person for the training costs for each individual. And that was shared out with Emily as well, so she knew what those costs were. And we'll be tracking them and moving forward so we can keep everybody posted on that. And again, that was for our older blind costs. We will be planning a new independent living integration coming up for June 4th through June 10th. I am very pleased to announce that the Iowa Council of the United Blind and the National Federation of the Blind of Iowa has graciously agreed to sponsor once again on a Monday evening and a Tuesday evening for our group. It sounds like from what the teachers are telling, we have a lot of folks who are interested in participation again. Always my concern is that, we're looking at bringing 6 to 7, but it's sounding like we have more people interested than maybe we have, if you will, the slots available. So we'll have to see how that shakes out, but I'm very excited about this upcoming training and we'll see how that goes. And I just want to once again thank Iowa Council of United Blind and National Federation of the Blind of Iowa and the local chapters for sponsoring. This is so very important that these blind Iowans can connect with these groups and get to know and even possibly join these groups. That's such an important step to knowing that they are not alone and they can join these groups and learn from these folks and make friends on top of it. All right, moving on. We have a new IL office volunteer starting this month. That person's going to be working with Julie in our office. Julie does an awesome job of keeping our job or keeping our office running very, very smoothly. I'm so very proud of what Julie does. I don't know how she does it, but she makes it run like clockwork. But she does have many, many things on her plate. And we were just so very fortunate to get this new volunteer on board. This person has not yet signed the volunteer agreement. We're hoping she will be here next week. So that's why I'm not saying the person's name right now. But I will share it out the next time we meet. Once this person comes on board, we believe that she will agree to Tuesday mornings and Thursday afternoons, but if that's not doable, we will be flexible. The last thing I have to share is that in March, between March 13 and 16, I'm going to be attending the Older Blind Technical Assistance Conference in Savannah, Georgia. The training topics are going to include essential elements on policies and procedures, case management, measures, monitoring, planning, and then there's going to be a lot of group discussion. There will be someone in attendance from Rehabilitation Service Administration, and that is our federal funder. The just so that you know, our hotel costs are covered by the Older Blind Technical Assistance Program, as well as our round trip flight. So there won't be any costs related to that. The only cost to our program would be the cost of the bags that I have to put on the plane, my meals, and then the ground travel, which I estimate will be under $400. That's what's going on in my world. A lot of other things, but of less importance. So any questions for me? If not, I would like to start with Lori to provide a short report. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello again. I'm Lori Berglund, and I work with clients in Northwest, North Central Iowa. Winter weather in my region of the state in January and in December had me off the road for a few days, but I'm happy to report that the snow is melting, and so is the ice, and so I'm getting back out into a normal travel schedule. When I wasn't able to travel, I was able to stay connected with my clients over the phone. And so they all continued to receive services. I was able to virtually attend the NFB Iowa meeting in January. Coming up in February, I am planning a community-based training in Spirit Lake, Iowa. I have a number of clients in that area. And depending on response and interest, will either be there a full day or two full days. I have an upcoming speaking engagement in April. I've been visiting doctor's offices in the smaller communities where I travel to provide brochures and contact information so that more individuals can learn about the services that we provide here at the Department for the Blind. Four of my clients were kind enough to volunteer to record a short statement for the open house at the Capitol. Some have been clients for a while or have had a relationship with the department, and others are fairly new. So it was fun to hear them talk about their experience. We have a self-advocacy seminar phone call weekly. That's hosted by Terry here in the Des Moines office, and four of my clients have been joining that on a regular basis and find that interaction with other blind Iowans across the state very beneficial. They learn a lot. And my Spirit Lake group is hoping to start their own support group after they get a chance to meet each other at the CBT later this month. I also have several who are interested in integration, as Kim talked about, and talked with about 18 individuals in the past several months who have contacted. They were maybe previous clients or family members of clients. So it stays busy up in the northwest corner of the state. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Lori.
Yep, thank you.
Next, we have Mark.
Hi, everyone. There will be two community-based trainings at the Iowa Department for the Blind, one on February 21st and the other on February 23rd. Alyssa, Susan, and I all have clients who will be participating in that community-based training. The focus will be on meal preparation and dining without vision. I have a couple clients who kind of inspired this because they have a need to be able to cook for themselves and their household. And hopefully this training will fast track them on meeting their objectives. On Tuesday of this week, I attended a Lifelong Links advisory board meeting at the Aging Resources of Central Iowa office, and that is our area's area agency on aging. And so it's comprised of service providers in the area. And at this meeting, a lot of them shared that their organizations are in that proposal to realign state government. And so there were a lot of concerns and questions about that. And they basically said it's really too early to tell how it will impact their daily routine and the services that they provide. Alyssa and I are planning on touring the Central Iowa Center for Independent Living, otherwise known as CISL, their office in Des Moines, and meeting with the staff there to see how we can better partner with each other. Laura from CISL spoke at the Lifelong Links meeting on Tuesday. She invited those of us attending the meeting to use their space to hold meetings or have support group meetings there. And they even have a kitchen that we could use to provide training to someone who's learning cooking. They offer money management classes for persons with disabilities, game days, exercise classes. So it sounds like they have a lot to offer. And so I'm looking forward to that tour and meeting with their staff. Quinn has been shadowing with me several days in December and January. So he's great with clients. I've seen that firsthand, and he's going to do a great job as a IL teacher. So really pleased to have him on board on our team. I had one speaking engagement at Spring Valley Assisted Living in Perry, Iowa on November 28th. I'm planning another speaking engagement at a senior community in West Des Moines in the near future. I just need to calendar it with the activity director there. I will be one of the staff working the IL integration week in June, and we have a planning meeting coming up here in the next couple of weeks. But I already have three really good clients to nominate, so I'm hoping, like Kim said, I'm hoping there's room for lots of participants for that week. Alyssa, Susan, and I have been planning coverage for Alyssa's service region while she will be out on maternity leave. I'm sure she'll talk about that in her report. But I'll be working with some of her clients in Polk County while she's out and taking her new referrals in Polk County. I'm trying to build up the blindness support group that meets here at Iowa Department for the Blind once a month. That group is known as BEST of Greater Des Moines. The acronym stands for Blindness Empowerment Support Team. And in December, they had a meeting here where they had a holiday luncheon and had a really good turnout. In February, they are having a Valentine theme for their meeting and encouraging new people to attend. So I have two new clients and possibly a third one who will hopefully come to their meeting next week. Quinn and I attended the Ames Low Vision Support Group meeting in January, where I had a new client attend her first support group meeting. I have five clients currently participating in Terry Wilcox's self-advocacy seminar on the Monday afternoon phone calls. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from them. They really enjoy the meetings where they can just ask questions and have discussion wherever that conversation leads them. And they learn a lot from each other in addition to what they learn from Terry. My referrals during the last quarter have kind of slowed down. I'm not sure why. I don't know. I know there was a lot of respiratory viruses going around this area. But right now I just have two applicants that I need to get out to see. So hopefully with spring, the referrals will pick up a little bit. Does anyone have any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Marcella, I have you on the docket next. Would you like to share some information?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I would just like to report the phone calls that I received that I keep track of that is not related to IL or VR. In November, there was 26 calls for the month of November. In December, there was 34. And in January, there was 34. And then also, just let Mark know that I've been talking, when people call that's in the Des Moines area, I do mention to them about your team meeting that you guys have here once a month. So I haven't had any takers yet, but I do inform them about that when they always say they want to be in a blind organization. So I do mention that. That's all I have to report today. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcella. And just to clarify for folks that are our guests, we do keep track of folks who call into our organization that may not want our services, but inquire about housing. We get calls all the time about housing for the blind or housing or you know, food or shelter or where can I go for this or where can I? And usually those are directed to Marcella, those calls, or they need a referral for legal services because they feel that there's been some related discrimination because of their blindness. And so those calls go to Marcella. She will usually, most always, and from my understanding, talk about our services, but often they're not interested. They only want to know, I want Disability Rights Iowa's telephone number. Can you give that to me? And so she gets to count those phone calls, and we report those to Rehabilitation Service Administration. So I kind of wanted to explain those telephone calls that come in. We do get a lot of them. I think last year, I didn't report this, but we had over 700 phone calls between teachers, Marcella, and myself that was non-related to, quote, services, you know, to an open case, that they were non-cases, but that came into our department that we answered questions about. So thank you, Marcella, again. Next on the list would be Kelsey.
So I have been, I did a CBT in the beginning of January. I kind of tried to make it a little bit unique. We were able to utilize a bowling alley, actually. So I had a number of clients come, and it was just kind of focused on like orientation and integrating kind of into the public setting and how we can still make things work accessibly for us. So that was very interesting. It was really good. The clients really enjoyed it. We also did a kind of eating out type scenario as well. So that was good. My client, you know, I'm continuing to pretty steadily get new applications and referrals. So my numbers are increasing, still. Other than that, I've pretty much just been, working with clients quite a lot. And then I do have another speaking engagement with the Allen Nursing College in Waterloo, in early March that I, have kind of developed a little bit of a partnership with them, just to kind of help get our next generation of nurses familiar with the department and the different services that Iowa can offer for patients that they may encounter who have vision loss. And that's about it for me. Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey. Susan.
Hi. Mark stole some of my thunder, so some of this may be a repeat. December was pretty quiet, but January and February have made up for that. Quinn has been shadowing me and meeting some of the clients or the clients that I have been working with that he will take over. And I would second what Mark had said, I think Quinn will do just fine as our new teacher. In January, I had a couple speaking engagements, one at the Keystone Cedars Assisted Living, and then at their partner, Keystone Place Senior Community. One is assisted living, the other one is independent living apartments. And then on February 2nd, Quinn and I, and Quinn helped me with the speaking engagement there at the senior community Keystone Place. Quinn and I did an in-service for our program for Systems Unlimited in Cedar Rapids. We did primarily, they were interested in cane travel, so we did an in-service on the cane for those residents and the staff. As Mark said, I'm helping with the community-based training there in Des Moines on February 21st and 23rd. We're working, Quinn and I, and possibly Kelsey, on getting a community-based training set up in Cedar Rapids, focused primarily on travel using the city transit. So our thinking is meeting at a local location, general location, taking the bus to a place called Nouveau Market, having lunch, and then taking the bus back. I'm also trying to get a community-based training set up for Davenport area, having some trouble getting a location on that, but hopefully I'll get that in, I'm hoping in March. I too have a client who's eager to come to IL integration and will be assisting with that coming up. And like Mark said, I'm going to be helping with covering of Alyssa's area. So I'll have us Polk County and then the outer counties for Alyssa while she's out. And I think that's it.
Any questions for Susan? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to Alyssa.
Hi, it's Alyssa again. And yet again, I cover 13 and a half counties, half being Polk, sharing with Mark, of course, like he said. So I could be like Susan, Mark stole some of my thunder too. So some of it's a repeat, but I'll just kind of shortly say some of them. I have two people that I'm hoping to bring to that best support group. So next week, February 16th, the Valentine's Day kind of in-person party, two of my newer clients. So I hope to bring them that day. It'll be a good group. And so I'm really excited to bring them to it because they're really excited. So also I'll be working with Susan and Mark doing the CBT around February 21st and 23rd. And I have a couple clients that are coming to that as well. And like has been said, I'll be going out sometime in March. I'm guessing towards the end of March on maternity leave. And so as Mark and Susan said, Mark will be covering kind of Polk County, like a handful of those clients. Some of them are ones that I inherited initially when I started as a teacher, so he knows them. So just kind of continue that relationship. And then when I return, probably, I'm guessing in June sometime, if I go out at the end of March, so probably the end of June is when I will return and continue with my clients then. So Susan will be taking most of the applications, but Mark will be doing the applications in Polk because half of those will be his clients. So then they won't have to transition again to another teacher. Let's see. I will be absent the May meeting for ILAC because I will be on maternity leave. Then I'll return to the following one, which I believe is in August. And like Mark said too, we look forward to meeting with Cecil and learning more about their facility and what else they have to offer and their services. So look forward to meeting with them as well. That's about it for me. Any questions for me, I guess?
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Alyssa. I just wondered, yep. I thought maybe someone might ask if you were putting out a box for guessing on the baby's name, but I didn't hear anybody on that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't know either. So other than the last name, that's about all we've got.
Okay. That's good enough. That would have been easy to guess.
We do know it's a girl. So we know that much.
Yeah. It's a Munsterman. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Monica. See, I didn't miss you this time, Monica. We're good.
We'll be there for a little while. No, I'm kidding. Well, this is Monica Vineski, and I'm, like I said earlier, I'm an independent living teacher from the Northwest and Central and Southwest part of Iowa. I, at the beginning of January, did an in-service in Harlan at a with some staff for a blind consumer, working with her group home staff and her day hab, and did some cane travel with them to help this person. My applications have picked up. So that's something I've been working on quite a bit. I have two clients interested in integration coming up in June. One, so much so, she is the mother of four intellectually disabled adult children. And she, while she is gone in Des Moines during integration, hopefully, as long as there's enough spots, she's going to have her sister fly from Florida to take care of her kids. Mm-hmm. So she stressed to me how important this is to her. I've got a CBT coming up at the end of March in the Council Bluffs area. There'll be three participants, two younger, one older. We're going to work on Braille because this group is very interested in learning Braille. Some of them are already in the Braille class that they've been working with remotely, and they've been studying independently on their own with the Codemaster and actually doing very, very well. And work on some meal preparation and some other things that are still in the planning stages. And I have a public speaking I've been working on setting up, hopefully also in the Council Bluffs area. It's just at this point playing phone tag and trying to come up and communicate and come up with an actual date and time. So that's all I've got.
Monica, that is absolutely refreshing to hear you say that folks are excited about their Braille instruction and wanting to learn more. I mean, that's really exciting.
I know.
To hear that.
I was very excited when they showed so much interest.
Yeah. The enthusiasm, it's just so refreshing. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that.
Yep.
Okay. And always the best saved for last, even though you're always, all of my staff are the best, right? But we're saving the newest for last. Quinn. Welcome, Quinn. First time, right? Is it the first time here? Or is it second? Did you make the first meeting? I can't remember. You want to unmute? There you go.
This is my first time at the IL forum. So again, go ahead, Kim.
No, welcome. I'm so glad it's your first time. You want to share out with our guests and staff what's been going on in your world?
Absolutely. So first of all, I want to thank Kim. My kind of orientation to integrated living has been phenomenal. I've had the chance to shadow Mark, Kelsey, Susan, and get a chance to kind of learn the different techniques that they use, you know, working with clients. And I've really found that to be extremely helpful. I've also had the chance to kind of observe their case writing style and understand kind of the different things that, you know, they put in their case notes, how they word different things, you know, so that I can come up with a style that meets all the needs of case management is also uniquely my own. I have really enjoyed doing speaking engagements. I haven't actually done any speaking engagements that were mine, but I did help out a little with Susan's in Cedar Rapids at Systems Unlimited. And I really enjoyed getting to talk with those individuals about cane travel, especially because my background, I'm actually an NOMC, which means National Orientation and Mobility Certificate. So I taught cane travel for about 4 years before coming to Iowa. So I really enjoyed that. I'm really excited to get out on my own and, you know, start seeing my clients. I tell people I feel like my strongest attribute is that I'm really good at forming those relationships with people. I'm really good at, you know, getting people to trust me. I've told a lot of people, I've told some of my, you know, my new clients, if you don't trust me, you probably won't learn very much from me. You know, so I'm really good at kind of making them feel comfortable, making them feel welcome. And again, just thank you everybody for the support, the encouragement, and everything that you have given me. And especially you, Kim, I've appreciated it so much.
Well, Quinn, I can't take the credit. I have to give the credit to Mark and Susan and Kelsey, your colleagues, because first of all, you make it easy to work with, and second of all, everybody here, and including Lori and Monica and Alyssa, make the independent living program work because they're out serving directly with the clients. And so I have to give tribute where tribute is due. And, you know, serving people in general is really hard work, and they make it happen every day. And we're really very happy to have you on our team. And so thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing out today. We're very excited that you're here and going to take the Eastern Corridor for us. We're excited, you know, to have you hopefully transition the end of February, 1st of March. I know Lori was going to be reaching out to you to chat, I think, about the CBT. I'm not sure, maybe I'm spilling the beans, Lori, that there's coming CBT, and I think she was going to invite you to that as well. But thank you for sharing today, and we're glad to have you. So glad to have you on our team. Okay, so Quinn, on that, if you don't mind muting, thank you again, everybody. Thanks to my entire team. Thank you for our director, Emily Wharton, for your leadership. We appreciate you very much. Without you, we wouldn't have the direction that we need to do our job as well. And for our guests at this juncture, I do want to open it. I know we have public comment. This isn't necessarily public comment, but I want to just open it one more time for questions. Does anybody have questions for any of us before we close the meeting and adjourn? Any questions from anything that you've heard today? Okay. Well, we really appreciate your attendance. We're going to meet in another quarter. I don't have the date here right now today with me, but Julie will send the notice out again. Julie, do we have that posted on the calendar when the next time we're meeting? Or is your audio not working?
Oh, no, it is. It's working now. Okay. No, I don't have that information yet.
Okay, February, March, April, May. It must be sometime in May is our next. Emily, when is our next staff meeting, if you're on? I can't get to that really quick.
Sorry, Kim, what was that?
When is our next all-staff meeting? Do you know? Is it May?
May, yes.
May 12th.
It looks like May 12th is all staff on Friday.
So it should be May 11th that we will have our next.
The 10th.
I'm sorry. Yep. May 10th. I apologize, everybody. May 10th, we will have our IL forum at 1 o'clock. May 10th, 1 o'clock. All right. So thank you all for joining. Good to see you. Please don't be strangers. Come and join us again. We appreciate you being here. And if there are any questions or concerns well before May 10th, call us. Call. Talk to Emily. Call me if it's something we need to chat about or email us. Okay. Thank you all. We're signing off now. And the podcast will be up before long. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye.